Well, there's a classic clergy joke, which is, before I get to my sermon, I want to say something. And that is to what the sermon is not about today, which is Earth Day. But Earth Day is an important day to recognize, and some people were there at the beginning. Danzig? Danzig was there at the very first Earth Day that was created and co-created by Unitarian Universalist minister Dennis Kuby of Studio City, when Dennis was serving Studio City and Al was at Studio City. And as part of Earth Day, they buried an internal combustion engine on the Studio City property, and thought that maybe 30 years ago that the days would be numbered for the internal combustion engine. At gas over $4 a gallon in Beverly Hills right now, the days may be indeed numbered. We recognize Earth Day, our responsibility, our stewardship for this planet, and as our hymn indicated, for each other. The sermon today is why we remember. And the genesis of the sermon is that this Tuesday is Yom HaShoah. It's Holocaust Remembrance Day. And the question always arises at Holocaust Remembrance Day, why always the Holocaust? Why? What's special? What's unique? Why remember? There are a couple of reasons, and those reasons are universal. They are not specific to Judaism. They are specific to genocide. They are specific to the kind of hatred and the kind of indifference that allows us to take the humanity away from our fellow human beings. It's one thing to look at the Holocaust, the Shoah, and say, well, we're going to learn from that never again. Never again was a fine slogan, but to believe it as a reality is delusional. It is a denial of what we have seen so clearly in the world. Let me say something controversial, because I assume it's not controversial to come out against genocide. Let me say something controversial, and that is that you always get into trouble when you compare killings and genocides and Holocaust, because every group wants its own to be unique, and everyone is unique. But when we, what makes genocide genocide is when by action, and I also believe inaction, we allow the elimination of people because of their race, whatever race means, their perceived ethnicity, their religion, some intrinsic identifiable character that we decide in some moment is important. When we allow this by action or by inaction, I believe that that is genocide. We cannot in good conscience say never again, and we have learned the lessons of World War II, because there were the slaughter of communists in Indonesia under Sukarno. There are slaughters of Christians in Indonesia right now by Muslims. There were slaughters going on in Darfur right now. There's also starvation and HIV and dehydration, and millions upon millions of children are dying of preventable dehydration in the third world every year. As many as Jews died in the Holocaust every year. We cannot say never again if we include indifference as an enabling factor that allows people to die because of what we perceive as their race, their religion, their ethnicity. And I guess the question is, would we tolerate tens of millions of children dying of dehydration because clean water and IV and simple solutions were not available if they were white children in America? Would we in America defend patent rights to HIV medicines as being more precious than human lives? A position that we have fought for, those patent rights in the third world. I think that for genocides to take place, there are two things that happen. Three things. One is that you have, in the normal kind of genocide, you have the murderers, you have the killers. But you also have, critically, the enablers who stand by and say nothing. And I think that history at some time in the future is going to look at the concerns that drug companies had about their patent rights and wonder at the monstrosity of it all. It is difficult to sleep at times knowing what is going on in that larger world out there. We dehumanize other people, and by we I mean people. I'm not picking on one country or ethnic group. We dehumanize other people in order to make wars, normal wars, possible. So that we don't kill Fred or Bill, we kill Jerry. We kill Nazis, we kill commies. We kill, pick the ethnic slur you want. We kill those people out there who aren't really people. They are things, vermin, less than human. That's how we allow these things to happen, actively and passively. It seems at times that the only lesson of history is that we don't learn from history. George Santana said that those who forget their history are condemned to relive it. And so we relive it and we re-die it every year, again and again, by the thousands and by the millions. And what is so shocking to me is when we have the space of some time to look back, we look back with horror and with wonder. Why were these people killing each other? What was so damned important about the distinctions that we saw amongst each other? I watched, I don't know how many of you tuned into HBO last night to watch the first half of Elizabeth I, but if you didn't see that one, there's the earlier version. Well, there's several earlier versions, and they all feature Catholics and Protestants in England hunting each other down, killing each other over various kinds of heresies that nobody really very much cares about today. In the beginning of Christianity, you had people killing each other over whether Jesus was exactly the same as God or only really very similar. These are not distinctions that are inclined to draw us to the long knives today. We look back at these things that caused people to get heated up into blood fury, and we look at it and say, what in the world were they thinking that made them think that these distinctions were important? We look at the world of Bosnians and Serbs who are fighting each other when they had the opportunity to have freedom and to build a peaceful and a just society. And they didn't kill each other for 50 years, but when they had the opportunity to live free or die, they chose to kill and die. And it's not because they're Serbs and it's not because they're Bosnians. The only thing they could agree on was to get together to murder the Muslims who lived with them because they were still mad at the Turks for getting to the gates of Vienna. Are they really still mad at the Turks? Well, history seems to indicate that they are. And the Turks, incidentally, were not just victims but were also perpetrators of a genocide against the Armenian people. And that genocide, I have to tell you, I find personally embarrassing that Israel doesn't recognize it and doesn't recognize it as a genocide, not for historical reasons, but for political reasons, because they want to be friends with the Turks, one of the few Muslim countries that recognizes and has peaceful dealings with Israel. So for political reasons, there is a genocide denial. Genocide is genocide. It is the attempt to relocate, to kill, to evict, to ethnically cleanse an area because of the ethnicity, the religion of the people who are there. When the words in the words of the Bible, it's not the words of the Bible, the words of Solzhenitsyn. When will we learn? When will we ever learn? And we need to learn. We need to learn that we are. Did I get the wrong poet? Was it Pasternak? Who was it? It was Pasternak? Yeah. When will we learn? When will we ever learn? It's important that this not be a Seinfeld episode where there is no learning. We have to learn if we are going to survive. We have to learn that there aren't different races, different religions, different nationalities with different characteristics. We have to learn that when we see Hutus and Tutsis killing each other, when we see Shia and Sunni killing each other, when we see Christians of the Orthodox versus the Catholic versus the Protestant killing each other, it's not because of their religion. It's not because of their tribes. The common factor is our humanity and the potential that human beings have for being inhumane. It is people killing people. And there's no inoculation that makes any people or nation immune. We can look at what's going on in Indonesia, in Thailand, in Africa, in Bosnia. We can look at the horrors that are going on right now between the Armenians and the Azerbaijanis and say, they're a bunch of primitive people. What do you expect? But one of the reasons that Yom HaShoah is important is that the Holocaust happened from the highest level of civilization, of Western civilization, from a culture that had education and art and culture. And religion doesn't inoculate us, education doesn't inoculate us, race, nationality, none of these things inoculate us and make us immune from the blood fever of rage and of fear that can sweep over a country. But surely, can't happen here. We know that it can't happen here. Why? Why do we know that? I have to tell you that we learned our lesson. Well, did we? We learned our lesson from the rounding up of the Japanese during World War II by liberal Republican Earl Warren under liberal Democrat Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Political ideology was not a protection against fear and the hatred that fear brings. You might be surprised to learn that a contract was just let for $385 million to build detention facilities in the United States. You will not be surprised that this contract was let to Halliburton. This contract is for the reason, according to the Halliburton website, in case there's an immigration emergency, you parse that and deconstruct that. And you figure out what that means. And you figure out what that means that after another outrage, such as 9/11, I am very fearful for my Muslim cousins. Because fear leads to hate, which leads to panic, which leads to ethnic identification, which leads to tragedy. Tragedy for all concerned. We look back at the Shoah, at the Holocaust and Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is Tuesday. And there are commemorations, assemblies today all over Southern California for Yom HaShoah and also commemorating the Armenian Genocide. And we look back not to weep, not to be obsessed in a sense of victimhood, not to be obsessed in any way except to try to do what seems to be the most difficult thing in the world to do, and that is to actually learn something from history. We cannot stop the panic. We cannot stop the hatred unless we recognize the potential for hatred and panic. If we live in denial that we are safe, that we are protected, that there is a unique providence to America that makes it impossible for bad things like that to happen, we set ourselves up for catastrophe. We deal today, I'm glad you spoke about how politics is okay here, we deal today with issues of due process. I think it's discussable and debatable whether foreigners taken on a field of battle have due process rights and the right to trial in American courts. I think that's a really open discussion that we can all have. But American citizens, I don't understand how you take away the due process rights of American citizens and you call an American citizen an enemy combatant who has no due process rights. Had this doctrine existed in the 1950s, Joe McCarthy would have called any left-wingers or members of the Communist Party agents of a foreign government bent on the violent overthrow of the American government by force and violence. And where would due process have been? Not even kangaroo courts would have been convened. We have to fight in every generation and in every age against complacency and complicity. We have to know what is going on in our world. We have to know what's going on in our own society. Most importantly, we have to know what's going on in our own hearts and make a commitment to real learning, the learning of the lessons of history. That's why we remember.